Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash catches Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up here with Don McNuggies to talk Andor Season 2 Part 2. We didn't do it last week. We should have because those episodes were amazing. But we're here for the last half of Season 2, the Andor finale, before we watch Rogue One. We agreed to not watch it until after this episode we recorded. So we're going to go through all six episodes, and we're just going to talk about them.
I was going to say, don't forget, there are spoilers if you has not seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Shame on you. But
spoilers, like always, we're talking Andor Season 2 finale. We're talking all of Andor, all of it. And we're also talking Rogue One spoilers as well, what it means in our perspective before rewatching Rogue One again after watching Season 2. Yeah, spoiler alerts for everybody. Donald, should we begin?
We should. I am super excited.
All right. Episode 7, Messenger. What happened? We're going to take it episode by episode and talk about it as we talk about it. Episode 7, Life on Yavin with Bix and Cassian. Yavin is very much tropical rainforest. Reminds me of Seattle a little bit. Lots of rain. They're living there. Will Willman tells him that, hey, Daedra's on Gorman. The person has been hunting us down since Fennec. Let's go kill him.
So, I do want to remind you, Jake, the last call, we had a deal, right? If somebody important dies, you said gave a couple people, I gave my theory. We're going to talk about who won the bet, but we'll get there. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the deal.
I wanted to continue.
We got to talk about that, right? Or should we talk about
we'll
it until after? Because
we'll
it's the last arc. We'll talk about it after episode 8, because I think that's where we can declare it, right? Right?
I think we should wait till 8, right? Yeah.
Yep, 8.
So, 7, 8, 9, yep.
So, episode 7, Willman tells him that Daedra's on Gorman. Luthen is the one who actually told him, and he's the one who's tasking Cassian with killing her. While hesitant for accepting anything behind Luthen, Cassian agrees. Willman takes Cassian to Gorman. Bix visits a force healer who says that Cassian's going to be very vital to the rebellion. Captain Kaido supplants Daedra.
Do you know this lady, or is she just some random weird Jedi lady? Because this lady didn't ring a bell for me for some reason. I'm just wondering if I'm just stupid. Or you know who this lady is, because I'm like, who's this lady, and I try to like find some research.
I don't remember the scene, so I don't really know.
Okay, you don't remember the scene. Okay, that's good, because I'm just thinking there, when that scene happens, he meets this Jedi lady. I'm like, I don't know who this Jedi lady was, but I did love that scene, because Cassian, Andor, you didn't feel Jedi-esque at all.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so great.
And then, boom, there she is.
Okay, you don't know the lady. There's a lady.
I vaguely remember watching this. This is like one where I watched late at night and then watched like the next few episodes and then was just so astounded by the next few episodes that I didn't rethink the rewatch this one.
This is such a slow setup episode. It was good.
It is.
I mean, you almost got the whole episode. There really wasn't. There isn't much, but there's so much detail that happens between the interlock dialogue conversations that people have. The small mentions of Luthen or taking the Luthen mission has become, you know, a plague in that community of Yavin, which I think is really...
Yeah.
That's one of my first questions about this episode. How did that happen?
Luthen becomes a plague?
He's the reason why this kind of got started. Yeah, Luthen's like, no, don't follow that guy. But he's the reason why they're there in the first place. And you're like, how'd you guys turn on this guy? Like, what happened? But okay.
Luthen is kind of like Saw Gerrera in the sense that, like, Luthen does things the way that people aren't proud of. Like, he's like the, in the political scale, like the radical. And then, you know, Saw is just straight up a radical for the resistance. But Luthen is like the step below. Whereas, like, Saw Gerrera, you, like, you get it. You're like, he will blow up anyone that he has to in order to win. Whereas Luthen takes a little bit more thought and like approach to it, but
methodical.
Like, he will sell his soul a little bit. He will, if he has to, sell someone out for the greater good.
But that was just an interesting major tidbit in that first little like scene where they're there before he leaves Gorgorum. He's like, yeah, don't you dare follow Luthen's missions. You know about that guy. And then there's Cassian, my man.
It's like, he has
loyalty. Cassian is a man of loyalty.
Is he loyal, or does he just really like, ooh, Daedra, this is the person that is going to...
I think he's loyal. I don't know. I that's where it brings a good question about Cassian's character. I think him and Luthen are both, you know, at this point, maybe not at this point, but he is very much so somewhat of a person that will do whatever it takes.
I think so. And Cassian, I think the idea of like, how does Cassian think of Luthen? I think he knows who Luthen is, but he has a lot of respect for Luthen. Like, he understands
the sacrifice that he makes. That's like, what I think it is.
I think so too. And I think it's like, you know, I don't want to work for Luthien. I want to get out of this life a little bit. But also, and I know that Luthien's playing this to get me back in or working with him, but also Daedra is dangerous and I need her out.
Yeah, Daedra too. You always want a Daedra. That's why I think it's like a 50-50 split. That's why it was like a no-brainer for him, I think, at the end of the day. It's like, I'm going. That's what
I really like how they played it. That too. All right, should we just talk episode 8, who you are? Should we get to that episode?
Episode 8. Let's get into it. Yeah, episode 1. Episode 7, let's be honest. It was a great episode because there's a lot of building, a lot of plot points. I think a lot of depth and detail about like conversations that went on, like I said. But like, episode 8, this is... Whew.
This is the episode when... like, fire. After I watched it, I'm like, is this the greatest Star Wars I've ever watched? Like, that's what I took away from it. Like, is this the episode that everyone's going to talk about? Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, holy shit. Let's talk about it, though. All right, so Captain Kaido takes over, and he begins his plan of pretty much to instigate the protest. He brings out the riot police into the crowd and just very much meeting this protest with heavy resistance. Zero kind of realizes his role and storms into Daedra's office, knowing that, hey, they're here to pretty much wipe out these protesters and forcibly remove...
Kill them all, yeah.
Yeah, from Gorman. Zero violently attacks Daedra, choking her, very much showing off his physical, and forcing her, like, what is their intentions? Zero then leaves, angry. Daedra, in the middle of trying to get him back, gets called out by her, Portugas, right? I forget this guy's name. I know what he looks like, but I'm like, I don't remember his actual name until I see it written down. I'm like, is that the name? He's like, hey, let's get this moving. Well, and the shout out begins on Gorman. And this starts with one of the Imperials sharpshooters
shooting their own person,
hitting their own man
on purpose,
and then the guys on the bottom like, shoot, they're shooting at us, shoot back. And deadly fire begins shooting between, and as protesters flee.
I mean, before we get to all that like fighting, before that even breaks off, you got a couple people that like start recognizing what's happening.
Yep.
You got the main resistance leader that recognizes it. He's like, no, guys, don't do this. Something's happening.
Yep.
Got Cyril recognizing the other side also what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you have Andor there. It's like, well, this would be the perfect opportunity to take out someone.
Yep, he's...
Without a plot blood on his hands. I was like, ooh.
So everybody's starting to fight each other. Protesters are... Some are fleeing. The rest are getting massacred by troops. Kaido releases the droids. Cassian is taking the opportunity to chaos to try to kill Daedra, who at first goes out into the open, foolishly trying to find Cyril. She comes back in. Cassian thinking about taking a shot through the window. Cyril, who stays out of his mind, sees Cassian, recognizes Cassian, knows kind of what's happening. Like, oh, he's going for Daedra, and then fights Cassian. And again, Cyril's physical is impressive. He's showing it off, and he's physically beating down Cassian, who's more of a rogue type of fighter, more agile, more tricking. And there is a moment where Cyril is straight up has Cassian dead to rights. He's ready to shoot him down. Cassian's just confused by and asks the question, who are you? And Cyril, astoundish, gets shot by the Gorman rebel leader, Cassian.
Cassian completely forgot about him. Like, that's what's...
Yeah. I mean, so much has happened. As he's leaving, a KX droid is taken down. Cassian takes it with him. Willman stays behind and radios the news of Gorman. And that is episode 8, Who Are You? And who won the bet, Don?
Me, dude.
You?
Main character. What did Cyril do the whole time? He didn't do shit. He didn't do jack shit.
Is that your argument?
Might have followed his life just so he dies. He's not a main. He's not anybody. Like, I think he's a large enough character to make an impact or how known this is real, but he's not the main. He's not the one you thought. You know, he was outside the box, but he did give a good perspective reality. But he wasn't Luthen. He wasn't Cassian. He wasn't any of those people.
Yeah, roll back the tape of like what the.
I would like to say if we continue forward, I said Bix, right? Yeah, he's Bix.
I said Bix or somebody's going to die, right? And you said no one was going to die. No one. Cyril's
I said nobody big.
Cyril's big.
Cyril ain't big. What did he do? What did Cyril do?
This moment was like his biggest moment, to be honest with you.
This was his biggest moment. Then he died. He was getting big, but then he died.
Dude,
before
he
got
a big
there,
man.
On the precipice of being
big. I didn't
big.
Realize how big he was, how physical he was. I look at him as like this twig of a person who's just kind of like this button pusher type of man. But then you see him fight and you're like, holy shit. Like, I didn't realize he was so buff.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Dude's just like overpowered people. And I'm just like, holy, why do you act such like so small?
Talk about the seriousness of the singing and the chants, and that's what you've seen too. Like the whole build up to it, you could everyone knew, even you as an audience, like knew. And you're like, oh fuck.
I love how Cyril stands up for Daedra, but yet he still like stands up for Daedra in the fact that she could have been assassinated. Like, he stands up to her, but also stands up for her in the same episode.
Yep.
But
and then
shot.
Daedra's feelings after that. What about Daedra's feeling realizing when Cyril was dead? Like, whoa, that was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, in a way, like, her actions killed him. Big time.
Yep.
Like, the who are
I
you
felt
line,
bad
though?
For Cyril. Yeah, the who are you? Yeah.
Could you who imagine, you? Like, physically beating, like, your opponent, and then just them being like, who the fuck are you, man? Like, what are you doing? And then dying. Like, that's how he died. I'm just like, holy... He owned the moment, but because he was so like taken back by the question, he hesitated and then gets shot. I'm like, that's such a so it's like poetic. It fits him well. 'Cause he's such a like he's a serviceable person. He has a huge value. He's really good at what he does. But he always gets like he's like a stepping stone. He always gets played. And like that's how he dies. And I'm just like, this is written so well. He wins. He had him dead to rights. Shot.
Dead. That's
What's your
Cyril's whole character though. Like he was always right about, that thing getting stolen. He's always like they always say Daedra was really right a lot. I think Cyril's right more than Daedra was the whole time. A lot of the times. No one just listened. He wasn't big enough to get listened to. He wasn't strong enough. Like didn't have a voice enough in the Empire, which if
He
they would have
wasn't a
listened
big
to him, I
man.
think.
He was a big man, which is so fucking ironic, behind all of it. Like it's just an ironic take, and I'm like, this is very purposeful.
Found out when something was going wrong, he stood up against it and paid the price too. It's sad. It's a kind of a sad moment because you know what this character is and what they've been through. And he knows what's going on. He's like, I don't stand for this. This is crazy.
But like I also think he had a choice where he knew this was wrong, but instead of like siding with the side that was trying to take out Daedra, he fought Cassian. Like I think he knew that like, hey, this guy's trying to take her down. But instead of like siding with him and joining with him, he's like, no, I'm gonna fight him, the defender.
It's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. He had such a nice character dynamic, and then his story ends. I think it was a good little tip of the cap, I think, for a good person to kill in that moment. Like out of all the people to kill in that moment, I think that was like a perfect choice.
Well, I think it's just
Great
work
writing.
fucking brilliant, which is like why I give the episode a five. Like this episode's like arguably the greatest Star Wars ever. Like that personal moment in like the greater scheme of like what it means for the Empire and the Rebellion, and this moment being like the reason why the Rebellion officially starts. Like this is your Red Wedding episode. This is like the moment that
Basically.
people re remember. Still think Cyril is big enough to make the bet a wash. But Bix does not die. Not in this episode.
Not in this episode. She dies the next.
All right,
I get
welcome to the Rebellion, episode 9. Empire frames Gorman as an insurrection, because of course they do. Mon Mothma chooses to call out the Empire, then flee to Yavin 4. Bail Organa chooses to stay behind and aid behind enemy lines. Luthen learns that Mothma's team is compromised, sends Cassian instead. Mon Mothma condemns the Empire that makes her escape with Cassian. Wilmot, Cassian, and Mon Mothma escape to Yavin 4. Cassian decides to leave the Resistance and the Rebellion with Bix, who already left earlier and said, "You're too vital to the resistance slash rebellion.
My ultimate sacrifice.
I will be with you once
God,
it's
were you
over."
heartbroken in that moment?
I was, because it's like
I was.
you knew, and then KS2O or K2SO is alive, and that is the end of the arc. And in a way, Bix did die. Bix Cassian died.
Depicts Cassian died. That moment, like I felt that moment, like in that scene where she decided, like, you know what? You're too much to what this means. You've done so much for this, and I can see you're the reason why it's succeeding. I can't be the one holding you back and taking you away from this. I mean, that's such a huge thing and such a sacrifice. I told you that they would sacrifice love to save
I
the
mean,
rebellion.
they
God, and
did.
it's hurt. It still hurt. It still hurt my
It
soul.
does.
I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk about why it hurts the most, especially with Rogue One being a thought. I really love the end of this arc, though. It was such a good, like, God damn, like, after all that, like, Cassian has experienced this, saves Mon Mothma, is fucking the hero of the, like, the rebellion, because this is when the rebellion starts, more or less.
Yep.
Like, he's just a part of all of it. And then she's just like, I can't do this. It's like, damn. Like, he just wants to leave and have love, and he deserves it. But, like, he keeps getting brought in.
Luthen and Mon Mothma. I mean, that's such a huge sacrifice, too. I'm going to send the person I'm going to send is the only person I know that can do the job, and that's Cassian.
Yep.
And I was like, damn. It tells you what this guy can actually do. I mean, it tells him he trusted him more than anybody
else. It was a fun episode, so like, just seeing the escape from the Senate and just seeing all the skills like Cassian has. And then the line at the end, welcome to the rebellion. Like, you're officially a part of this now. Like, you are here. You are a part of the rebellion.
Yep. Yeah, that was such a strong thing. I was like, dang. You're part of this. One person sacrificed himself so Mon Mothma can get the speech.
I love seeing the origin.
The origin of it, I think, was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like,
and you could feel that arena. Like, you could feel the presence. I don't know. I think it was written so well. Like, I felt these three episodes for some reason to my core. I don't know if you did too, but I certainly did. I was like, all right, I'm feeling this.
I did too, as you know, I feel like many of us probably do, in the sense of like the time we're at in our lives. And, like, the political nature of everything that's going on, I think this reflects really well. And this scene was just like, damn, I understand that sacrifice, that you call it out and you're like, no, the Empire genocide these people. Like, this wasn't an insurrection. They forced this. They made it into a genocide. And they were, you know, it's very relatable to our world, you know, to this day.
Today, I mean, it's exactly that too.
Mm-hmm. And then,
yeah,
this was a really good arc. It is, and it's very comparable, like, to the transition that we're potentially going to. Yeah, and we just, I don't know. It's interesting seeing the comparison that there is. We're not going to get too deep into it. Let's get into the next arc. Episode 10, Make It Stop. Lonnie gains access to Daedra's files, discovers secret project, gives it to Luthen. Lonnie warns that Luthen that their identities are covered. Luthen kills Lonnie, but briefs Clea. Luthen destroys his comms, and then Daedra confronts him. And this was kind of Daedra's plan, right? Was to figure out who Luthen is, but give him the information to do so? Or did I read the scene wrong?
Yeah. I am thinking that was her plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she wanted to have the plan. I think she wanted to follow it through was the problem.
Yeah.
That you'll see later, because she couldn't.
She gets arrested for withholding information, yep. And also for the fact that it very much seems like she's a rebel spy. We get the Luthen Clea flashback where Luthen is a soldier defected. Clea kind of ran with them, decided to more or less adopt her. And then we get the final scene where Clea sneaks into the hospital, gets around Imperial spies, kills Luthen by unplugging his life support. And there goes the man that we know the love and say that we hate. Luthen.
Oh, I think that little backstory they gave to Luthen, and I should know her name. I don't know why I don't. Quaya, yeah. She tells her how she met Luthen, how Luthen saved her life, how Luthen wasn't for this fighting at the beginning with. You get a little good front story to why Luthen's doing what he's doing, and then how they were the ones that kind of actually kicked off this rebellion, and then Koya was getting kind of upset, like, why aren't you doing more? What are you doing? He's like, this is not a one thing. This is going to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And they had that mutual understanding. They both, like, understood each other. She was like a daughter, even though he said she wasn't, but she definitely was.
Many things. Mm-hmm. She was what he needed to be.
Her character was powerful in that moment and doing it all by herself. Like, this had to be a team, blah, 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 blah. Nope, one person.
One person I thought
was
huge. In.
Like, she was pretty fucking good,
it
too.
Was a well, it was like, a well-directed scene. I was like, holy shit. Like, this is cool. It was fun. But it was also like, the goal was to kill her father figure so he couldn't give information. But also, Daedra must have been very desperate to be like, you know, like, with, you know, keep him alive, keep him alive. It's like, keep him alive for what? What is he going to say?
Well, I mean, keep him that he knows and who could potentially know. The torture him, I guess, was kind of the idea. You know, if you could torture him.
You have to heal him back to torture him? I don't know. It was just like a very, like, he's already trying to kill himself. What else could you do in that moment?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was... Other than I get they could torture him enough, maybe, I think was the idea.
Yeah. I mean,
if they
had
torture him enough,
to do so.
They would have it?
I don't know. To me, I'm just like, I don't think that... Even if they were able to keep him alive and Clea wasn't able to, I'm just like, I don't think they would be able to get the information they wanted. Like, I just don't think it was
I don't think Lupin would have cracked.
No.
I mean, there's that truth serum drug in Star Wars, so I kind of understand that maybe. Maybe that's what they're worried about.
Maybe.
That he would convey too much information, because Lupin does know a lot, too. You got to think about that.
Gavin 4, all the rebellions.
He's kind of the starter of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
He did start the rebellion. So
he did.
I mean, in a way, he knows
him
a
and Saw.
Good
him and Saw.
Chunk.
I would say Luthen was more of the planner than Saw was, but Saw is definitely like one of the first tools of the rebellion.
Yeah.
All right. Who else knows episode?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to move on to who else knows episode 11. Krennic interrogates Daedra for withholding info and going after Luthen alone, calls her a spy. Clea is identified. The guy that I can never think of his name assigns her as a public health hazard. Basically, you know, like, hey, this person's on the run. Clea contacts Willman to get Cassian to help. They think it's Luthen. Daedra gives Hurt insight into Luthen's communications. And then finds Clea's safe house. Clea reveals that the Empire is building a super weapon to Cassian. Wants Cassian to go alone. He wants to bring Clea. The droid K2SO starts hacking the Imperials. And we get to the finale. Jedha Kyber Erso, episode 12. K2SO kills Hart and the team. Just takes out the Empire. Clea is wounded. Much of the rebellions do not trust Luthen's intel. They don't want to go through with it. Mothma wants to hear him out. Vel then hears out Cassian. He convinces her of Luthen's integrity. Partagaz commits suicide as Daedra is being imprisoned. Very similar to Narkina 5. The thing that's making the parts for the Death Star. Saw wants to contact Cassian. Rebels realize Luthen isn't lying and the evidence is too great to ignore. Cassian and the droid fly to Kafreen, starting off the movie Rogue One, and Bix, while on Minaru, is holding a baby looking into the horizon. And that is the end of Andor. Season 1 and 2 is the finale.
Yeah. I mean, good thing Luthen died. We called that. I called that. That'd be the last arc, of course. You'd see Luthen die. Die for the rebellion.
Death. Yep.
Woo! Suck it. We all knew it, though.
Kinda. Are you surprised?
Everybody saying that Luthen was a villain? Go fuck themselves.
Are you surprised that there wasn't like a big finale, like big flashy finale arc? Because this was like tiny. This is like closing loose ends.
I am not surprised by it, because I bet you 100% it did exactly what it wanted to do, and it makes me want to watch Rogue One again.
I mean, Rogue One is Rogue One's like weirdly the series like movie finale that ended up being like the beginning, and like the series itself is like the prequel, and it's such a like I wanted to watch Rogue One. I'm like, holy shit, this changes a lot. Which leads me, let's get into questions. I only have 5 questions. I'm changing it up a little bit. Instead of as many questions I can think of, it's I call it 5 questions to appease Michael. Because he asked for 5 questions.
To appease Michael.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm changing it. I'm making it every show. Because he asked me, he's like, can we do 5 questions instead of 22? And I'm like, fine. By changing the segment name, 5 questions to appease Michael.
5 questions to appease Michael. I mean, 5 so is good. Otherwise, you might...
5 questions. How much different do we see that Cassian Jyn kiss at the end of Rogue One without watching it?
How much does that change? I mean, it changes that quite a bit. Think about it.
It's not as like, oh, it's kind of romantic and everyone's gonna die type of way. It's like a, what about Bix, man? What about your kid?
He doesn't know about the kid. She didn't tell anybody. Doesn't. That's the thing, too.
Doesn't. How does it change, though? Like, that's one reason why I'm excited to watch it, because I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it, because I'm like, I might be more of a Cassian Bix truther than a Cassian Jyn truther.
I think there's just a lot to it.
Yeah.
Because you gotta, yeah. That's the only thing. It's hard to say. I think there's a lot, if I were to think about it.
Mm.
In a way, I don't know. Because you're talking years ahead. Cassian, there's a whole bunch of feelings.
Yeah,
It's tough. That's why I want to rewatch it, too. Like, I want to see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made this choice for a reason.
I don't blame Cassian at all in any way. Just thinking back on it, because I have watched this movie recently. I know that me and you reviewed this movie recently within the last year. And I'm just like, this... All right, that kiss hits a little bit differently. That final scene hits a little bit differently, because it's like, you think of it as like, oh, these two could have been lovers. But now it's like, I don't think these two would have been lovers. Like, if they would have made it, like, how does... So I'm just like, okay, this is different. Do you have any questions? Or should I go with the 5 that I have?
No, I don't really have too much questions at the end of it, other than, like, how you felt about the whole series, your rating, and all that kind of stuff. Because it's all, you know, we have the ending. There's nothing that's really open on my end.
There isn't a whole lot.
As far as questions.
Yeah. Is Cassian the hero we need or deserve?
He's the hero we need, not the one we deserve.
Because he's...
That is 100% the fact. He,
I love how important he is. I love how, like, this is, like, between Andor Season 1, 2, and then Rogue One, we get, like, this hero that is Cassian Andor. In the sense of, like, he's not Luke Skywalker. He's not, like, this myth or legend. But he is... a rebellion agent that really was like, without him, there's none of this.
Yeah. I agree. There's nothing without him.
He saves Mon Mothma. He was one of the informants on Gorman. He's the reason why this information even got like into Rebel hands. And not only the information in Rebel hands, but the key code or the information on how to defeat it as well. Like, that was the whole purpose of Rogue One. So it's just cool to like have this hero we know the ending to, and how it just,
you know,
it
exactly
builds
what
out.
I mean, that's just even more tragic. That's what makes it more. It's the tragedy of that too. Like, you know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know every sacrifice this person has made, or that he has received, basically too. And you're like, fudge, and he still does it anyway. Like, I feel so I feel I so think... indifferent. Like the world didn't deserve what he was doing for him because they didn't treat him the best for it either. Like that's what I think is hilarious because he just kind of shafted when he came back. The last episode to go save her and get the info from Luthen. Didn't even trust him. They had to go through other people. And this is the person that's making all the sacrifice. I kind of felt cheated for Cassian the whole time. Just like Luthen. It made me feel really bad for Luthen too.
Like he,
like if I put it back together, I'm like, these are the two that literally started and saved the rebellion. These two folks. Mm-hmm. And then the way they were treated, they were almost treated like villains when they came back. But they're the reasons why. I mean,
I think
New Hope is a thing. And they come back and the rebellion wins. And it just makes me kind of sad
think
there.
It's so crazy because, like, he was there. He was in the prison that was making parts for the Death Star. He was there for Fennec when they had the uprising. He was there when there was the massacre on Gorman, to get the minerals for the Death Star. He was there on Jeddah when it blew up. And he ultimately does all this work to come up for the plans of the Death Star, to come, you know, to give the rebellion the ability to know about the Death Star and how to defeat it, but then ultimately dies at the end of the Death Star. And I'm just like, that's just a lot of poetic, tragedy, irony. Like, it's just cool to think about it. Like, this lore of this hero that we never talk about is just happening in front of our eyes in Andor. We know the end, but we don't know the story.
Yep.
And the end is like, oh yeah, he was one of the main characters that did this, but it's like, no, he's one of the main heroes in the rebellion. Like, who did, here's my question I didn't write down, but here's a legitimate question for you. Who's a bigger resistance hero or rebellion hero? The better hero for the rebels? Luke Skywalker or Cassian Andor? Who did more?
Cassian Andor did more than Luke Skywalker ever did. That's an easy question. Like, I mean, right now it's right. I think this is the thing. I think it's
okay.
I think Cassian Andor, when we get to the end ratings, I guess you have my opinion. But as far as the rebellion and the reasons why they won, hands down, it was because of Team Andor.
Luke. For sure. Andor is definitely up there. But Luke, he's the one who hit the shot, right?
He wouldn't have been able to hit the shot if he didn't know how to get
the game
it
winner.
Or know about it in the first place. How'd they get that information?
This is why I gave
the
Luke,
though, ship
second Death Star. Second Death Star.
Yeah, but then you'll have to defeat that one, too.
Also, you just realize, though, like, Cassian Andor did all this work, but they were already making a second Death Star. So, like, there was a world where, like, he did all this work, and, like, they won, but then a second Death Star was made, and all of it was just for nothing. Like, there was a world where that was a possibility.
There's a world of the possibility where no one on the Rebel side knew about the Death Star. Imagine
It would just get blown up. What was your thoughts on, like, Bail Organa, though? As he was, like, talking with Mon Mothma and, like, the Rebellion, and they were like, oh, we shouldn't believe Cassian Andor. We shouldn't do this. And I'm just like, bitch, you know what? You fucking deserve your plan to get blown up. I had that thought. It was like, how dare you not believe Cassian? You know what? Let your planet be blown up first.
Yeah, I mean,
that scene, though, I'm just like, that's the guy who runs the planet who gets blown up first. That's Alderaan's leader. I'm like, there's some irony here. It's happening.
It is. I think, or my question that I have for you, which is kind of going down this whole boat, just the way they treated Cassian, Luthen, and Qual when she went in or at the end. The Rebels' incompetence, does it still exist? Is it real?
I didn't write this down, but I was going to ask you. Is it like, are you asking whether the rebels' incompetence is it like the incompetence that we see in the new Republic?
Yeah, do you think it existed in that room? Because I felt like it
Oh
did.
yes. Oh yes. And I love it. I love that they're making the Republic, the New Republic, and like the rebellion somewhat incompetent. I like it adds to the lore, it makes sense. And I like this idea that like, hey, just because we cheer for them, it doesn't mean that they're not imperfect. They have some flaws to them.
Yeah. That's why I was like, nah, that's pretty good. I think they're pretty incompetent as they come through, just the way they treat people and certain things. And you see the other shows and stuff, like, there's definitely a level of it in there, which makes sense to maybe, the new Star Wars story.
I
The
mean, a lot of it's like,
last recent trilogy, but.
mean, a lot of them are the same remnants of leaders from the old Republic, or not the old Republic,
Yeah,
but
that's what I was thinking. The
the
Senate.
Republic. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, their incompetence, as well as the Jedi's incompetence, is the reason why I have their downfall. The Rebels' incompetence isn't really stated, but like leads into New Republic's incompetence, which is why they lost again to the First Order. Like, you have to explain these things. How is the First Order still around? Well, they didn't necessarily take out, nor were they competent enough to lead a government for long. But then again, you also have to realize the Empire is also kind of incompetent, but incompetent because it's really hard to make an authoritarian like regime last long, because you need fear. You need a new enemy all the time, and that can only last for so long.
Yep.
It's, I don't know, the Empire's
Dang, the
interesting.
rebels.
Right.
It's a grab for power. Everyone wants that position of power, and like they don't understand. That's where I felt bad for Cyril. Like Cyril, if they would just listen to him, I think a little bit more, because he was actually a pretty intelligent dude.
Yeah.
But he wasn't ever in the right position where he would have the authority, to give him enough of the decision making and leeway.
Did Daedra get what she deserved? Thrown out by her empire?
Yeah, I think she got what she deserved. Not
Morally
really.
speaking, yeah, but like not for the
Morally speaking,
empire.
yeah, because she knew what was going on. She knew what was happening. She should have. I mean, she's always been with the Empire. She should have seen it coming.
Yeah. Probably.
That's just my
You don't
thought.
really feel bad for her. You're like, "Oh, you need to work on the Death Star prison. Have fun with that."
Yeah, you knew. Like you knew he was going to murder a bunch of innocent lives. You knew about all of that. You knew about the building of this giant Death Star ship.
It's gonna
And
kill
you know what you
planets.
decided? Meh. That's where I agree with Cyril at the end. That's why I don't feel bad for Cyril doing what he did, because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, he was so abusive to her at the end. Like, are you fucking kidding me? She literally knew she was building a planet-killing machine, and he found out, and he was like, are you kidding me?
Like, oh, he's so abusive. Like, this bitch, like, planned to murder, like,
Played him.
billions and played them the entire time. Like, why
Yeah.
else were you getting promoted to all
Made
these
him do the job that
positions?
he didn't know. Yeah. Make him do a job not knowing that they're going to do it because of this. Like, that's
Yeah.
like doing your job in your company going, by the way, we're eliminating all these things. Like, are you kidding me? Why'd
It's
you ever work for
like
that?
Severance, learning that all of the data that you're doing is reprogramming your girlfriends or your wife.
Yep.
Like, oh yeah,
Yeah, you would just stand for that too? God, no, I would be so
you
mad.
probably tried to
He didn't know
murder
what to
the
do
first
either.
person in front
He tried to murder the first person he got mad at. If you think about it,
of
he really
you. Yeah, I
did.
mean, yeah, he
Sarcastic,
did.
and he was like, you fucking son of a bitch. You know? If I would have just caught you, this would never be a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, too.
And
But he didn't.
then
So he got so mad in that moment, and what do you do? You're so
he
mad
could
at
have
that one
joined him.
person, too. Like, you're the reason. You're the reason. You could have. But
Could
you're
have
the
joined
reason
him.
why. Yeah, okay, got him.
So well
Got him.
written. All right,
It's so powerful.
K2SO, come in right time or too late?
I think it came in a great time. I don't think he came in too late. That makes a sense, like, why they would have ran into him in the first place.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have found an admission.
It would have been cool if he was, like, a more of a season two character, but, like, it makes sense for the arc because it's like, you know what? This isn't an Andor character, but it does explain Rogue One. And it does give us, like, a scene with K2SO, like, why they're terrifying, like, but also kind of reveals why the Empire doesn't continue with these droids. Because they can easily be turned against them.
Yep. Just like a flick of a switch, too. That's what's crazy.
And that's kind of, like, how I took it. It's like, maybe this is, like, why this is their, like, in-universe explanation of, like, why these droids aren't part of the Empire moving forward, episode 4, 5, and 6. That was my thought process. So I'm like, I would have liked to see more of K2SO, but I'm kind of fine with it. Better?
No, I think it's a good spot to bring him in. Because you had to bring him in. You could have not had that character.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you doing? You bring him in too early, too. I think things might have been too easy. That's where I'm like, meh, I get it.
All right. What's a better arc? The third arc or the fourth arc?
Oh, boy. I mean, just because I just have to base it off episode 8. I think episode 8 was too good. But overall, the arc, I think the last arc, I enjoyed this, the political detail that was involved in that. That's where I kind of stand there.
I went with third. I think the penultimate mark is the best. I think it peaks there. I do like the fourth, but it's more of an epilogue than like the ultimate like finale.
Yeah, I mean, it does peak at third, but I like the epilogue structure, and they closed all the... It's one of the stories where actually close kind of all the loops.
It does.
You don't really get that when you do a show where they leave one thing open. Yeah.
Like Better Call Saul.
All your loops are closed, and some of them were like very like...
Closed?
To me, it was like... Yeah, because it closed pretty well. I'm more thinking just the feeling of the rebels and the feelings you got Luthen for like Luthen Cassian. The Luthen Cassian feeling. I think just hit my soul at the end.
Yeah.
The way they did everything they did, then they just got kind of in a way spat on until a couple people finally just caved into Cassian. But even then, that had to do a lot of pull, had to go through a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't trust him. Like, that's crazy after everything he's done for you. Because Mon Mothma even had to question it. And he's the one that saved your fucking life and got you there, you bitch. You know?
It's hard because it's like he deserves a hero ending, but it's like, but you understand why people don't trust him. Like, you get it. He sold his soul, but he's like, he did sell his soul, but like, you needed him to sell his soul. This is a year.
I think so. I like the story so much. Two people. I mean, there's another reason I like the story, which I'll get into.
All right, last question.
Two people leads, doing sacrifices.
But
last question.
Last question leads to the next segment where we get into the ratings. Is this the best Star Wars of all time?
Hands down, 10 out of 10, yes.
I
think so. Like, I don't think there's another Star Wars story out there that even...
Empire Strikes Back is the only... Empire Strikes Back for me is like the only thing that's close, but I'm like, I don't think it's this elite of writing. I don't think it's that. I think it's great. I think it's close there.
I think Empire Strikes Back is great, but it has some soft dialogue.
It does.
Yeah, this is...
Oh, Andor is so much better.
I mean, yeah, I think Empire Strikes Back, if we were to look at a trilogy as a whole, I mean, if you look at the series as a whole, Andor blows it out of the water. It's very writing-wise, driven. Yeah. And there's not like two terribly giant action scenes either. This is a very much a politically, conversationally based, planned out kind of feel. And not as much as like blow it up, bing, bang, bang, boom, boom, action packed that some people enjoy. And there wasn't a single lightsaber, so.
That's true. I think in comparison to like... the shots that we've seen, the writing that's displayed, and just the overall like narrative, I think it's the greatest Star Wars of all time. But it's also very adult, and it's also not perfect, which leads to the rating. Donald, I gave this a 5-.
You son of a fucking bitch. No, just kidding. All right, that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair to give a 5-. I'll tell you why I give it a 5. That's why I lead in the ratings, but I'm giving it a 5.
You give me a 5? I have one reason why I'm like, it's a 5-. I have a new coworker, watches a lot of the same shows, Last of Us, Andor. He's a little behind, watched Andor, the prequel, or the first 6 episodes as I finished the finale. And he's like, the first half of the season is really boring. And I realized Andor is such a slow start. It's hard to get into. It's hard to realize why the show is good, why is it important. It's not made for like the casual audience. This is a very adult, intelligent show. I give it a minus simply because it's hard. It's a slow burn. It's hard to get you engaged. The first couple arcs of each season is, I would say, a 4- for both of them. Like, it's hard to get you in. Like, the flashbacks of season 1, arc 1, really draw you out of the story. It tells you the story of, like, who this character is, but it doesn't really tell you the why it's important. And that's where I think the show struggles. It's almost, like, too smart for its own good. It struggles with, like, hey, let's just get this audience captivated. Or informed of like why this is important. Once you know why it's important, the show is masterclass. But getting that lead into that information and getting that motivation to like why you need to watch this show is like the missing piece for me for like why it's not perfect.
Yeah, I have an opposite problem. I love the show because of the detail and the, like, you know, yeah. If you're following it, like I said, it's great to have a non-casual audience Star Wars show that they've been making for months and months and months. That's when I'm like, okay, whoever was making this didn't make it for someone that just can watch anything, like the recent Star Wars projects that came out that turned out like garbage. I mean, this one is the reason, I know this story they're going into. I don't know why they're going into detail, but now they're going into detail. You're kind of very interested in these intricate details of what's going on in these situations. You want to be involved. I wanted to know more. I wanted to get it all. And like, okay, this seems super important. This here. Picking up on those small details, I think, was kind of what made it more fun for me. I wanted to be so in tune because I was so in tune with the show. And the biggest factor for me why I gave it a 5, because finally they did it. Didn't it be a dingus butt kiss and be like, he came from this family, from this blah, 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 and that blah, blah, blah. You get the beginning of Cassian Andor's story. He was just a kid living his life, and his world got attacked, you know?
Yep.
Pretty much an orphan kid that grew up to be the savior, and at the end of the day, he's the orphan kid that grew up to be the savior of, well, you could say everything. I would say, you said Luke, I still like, team Andor, team Andor all the way, team Andor.
It's like,
fuck Jake, it's like, the
ending of Last Jedi. It's like the same theme of Last Jedi, where like anyone could be the hero. Like Cassian was the hero, he didn't have a lightsaber, but he was the hero.
Yeah, except that Last Jedi fucked that up, all right. You are the daughter of Palpatine. Bah, 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 bah.
Well,
like,
Rise,
why would you do that?
Rise of Skywalker, let's be honest. I'm one of the few Last Jedi I'm one of the few Last Jedi fans. Like, I think the movie's good. I just don't think it's a good in that trilogy.
Yeah, I think the movie's good. I'm with you on that middle there. I mean, I think that detail brings it to a 5 for me because I love the detail. I love the slow burners. I like the ones that want to get you interested. The very Games of Thrones style where it's all slow and you just get that burn going. You're like, oh, the burn.
I agree. Once you understand it, it's like, oh yeah, this is a 5. Like, this is great. I think it's just getting into it is like why I'm like, it's such a slow burn. Like, once I get into like the meat and potatoes of Andor, I'm like, all of it's worth it. So like it's all background information that makes understanding this part better. And like it's a good show in that sense. Like it's well written, makes everything like worth it, even like the smaller slow detail stuff. But yeah, the minus is just the first few acts. It's really hard to get into.
I will agree. There are some hard to get into, so.
And this is for all of it. This isn't for season two. I think season two, I'd still give it a 5- around that area. But this is for all of Andor, I would say 5-. Like, it's a great show once you can get into it. And it's yeah. worth it. NBC for Andor, and for like this last part, I give it to Cassian. I don't really know if there's really anyone else. I think Kea gets number 2 for me, and Luthen gets number 3. Mon Mothma is 4. Willman, I think, deserves 5. And then Bix for an honorable mention of doing the sacrifice that wasn't necessary. But I'm like, it's Cassian. Straight out. Like, there's no other answer. Kleya gets the honorable mention for killing Luthen.
Yeah. Of course, it's Cassian in the film all the way. Mm-hmm. But if you leave Cassian aside, I think second would go to Luthen. Or, yeah, Luthen would have to be second.
For these last 6 episodes, though?
Last 6 episodes? Oh, the last 6. Okay, I thought we were doing the whole series.
Yeah,
just
the whole last series, 6. Yes, Kleya. Luthen.
Yeah, Kleya, for sure.
Yeah, Kleya.
I think it'd be Kleya, number 1. Yeah, if it wasn't Cassian, it'd be Kleya, for sure.
I think you have to understand her 2.
Background, why she's. I think why she's there. Like learning that, I think in the last few episodes, I think was very key to Luthen's character too. Because there's a lot of people that are like, this guy's a villain.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's not no villain.
It's like he's the
vigilante,
like anti-hero.
Yep.
Anti-hero. He does what he needs. He does what he needs to be done. MVP. I think the MVP of like the whole of all of it is Krennic, obviously. But for the show and for the part 6, or for the not part 6, but the last 2 arcs, Daedra.
Daedra, yeah. I mean, you're supposed to somewhat feel bad for her, maybe. I don't know if you're supposed to feel bad for her, but it's definitely Daedra. Mm-hmm. I mean, she used Cyril.
Gets him killed.
She knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. Like, that's what's creepy. She helps them find, she still, like, tries to help the Empire, even though she's imprisoned by the Empire, which I think is...
It's really fucked up. It's like, they're like, you should have been a rebel spile. Like, you think so well that you should have been a rebel spy. And she's like, nah, I'm doubled down. Like, I'm going to help you out here, even though, I'm in prison.
Ultimately, she should have became a rebel spy. She would have been better off. I even say that. Like, you would have been better.
I still don't get like why they arrested her. I'm still like trying to wrap my head around it. Is it just because like she knew too much and they're like, oh, she's thrown her to prison? She's already like betrayed us.
She knew more. She knew who was attacking. She knew about Luthen and Cassian. Yep. And she never told the Empire because she basically wanted the credit for herself.
Oh, right.
That's she knew it all. She didn't share. Like, who's behind some of these? And she didn't share because she wanted to be the one. Yep, she wanted the personal glory. And that's why they arrested her. Because if she could have shared with the Empire, the Emperor would have been in a better position.
And rebel spy. They're not
wrong. I don't think that's where they thought she was rebel spy. But she was like, no, I was, trying to advance my position. And that's why, it's like, I don't know if I can really feel bad for you. He basically kept information that could have definitely benefited them. But at the same time, she knows how that Empire universe works, like I was talking about. It's a grab for everyone's power, and everyone wants.
Bad guy took a risk.
I'm the one person that took the risk. But if your risk pays off, pays off big in the Empire.
She becomes Krennic.
It failed.
She would become Krennic, yep. Right? Then she failed, and Krennic is now the Rogue One villain. Well,
yep.
That and Darth Vader. God damn it. I have rewatched like that scene and I'm just like, this ends with Darth Vader hallway fight and like still one of the best scenes of Star Wars. I don't know if you beat that.
Yeah.
It's so just the music and everything. All right, Andor is done. Elite Star Wars, hopefully not done, but probably is for a while. Donald, this is it. We got Rogue One left. We gotta watch Rogue One.
We watch Rogue One and do a review after, see how we feel about it. Maybe that'll be more like a 30-minute item, but
yeah,
you know, as far as the Star Wars projects that have come out recently, no offense to all of them, just haven't really been that great.
Yo, Mandalorian and Grogu.
The Mandalorian always does good. They did a little weird third season. I don't know why. That was kind of off kilter from what they normally do.
Book of Boba Fett was also off. Ahsoka was solid, but that's about it.
Ahsoka was okay. It was pretty solid. It wasn't like great. What's the one I'm thinking of that was just horrible?
Acolyte. That one was fun. Acolyte
wasn't that good.
It was fun.
No, not that one. The other one. Skeleton Crew. Yeah, it was kids. Oh.
That one was the fun. Acolyte was, if you had kids.
The Acolyte was okay. I just think they crossed. It's fun to make fun like, of. One thing, like the Andor writers, they understood the lore. They knew what they were doing. The Acolyte journey, where they're like, what the fuck are you doing with the Acolyte? This doesn't make any sense, but okay. Kind of backtracked your lore, which I don't like when they do that.
Andor makes. I just love the fact that it makes episode 4 better, too. The Bail Organa, I'm like, dude, you're doubting the people that's gonna try to save you. Like,
you didn't mention the whole thing.
What's that?
Rebellions are built off hope. You didn't even mention that line, Jake. I'm very disappointed in you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding. Rebellions are built off hope. Came from the hotel cashier. Woo!
Good line. All right. Don McNuggies.
He's the real MVP.
Hotel cashier. All
right, Hotel cashier. Rebellions build off hope.
Don McNuggies, thank you. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off. This was our Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes. Andor Season 2, second half is over, and we are out. Thank you all.